We're on page 55, and it's the bottom left, second one. Vayesha Yaakov, etc. Ad Vayishkaba Makamahu. Rashi Zal. Says in Rashi, Yitziyat HaTzadik, when a tzadik leaves a place, Min HaMakam, Oseh Roshan, it makes a certain impression. Rashi continues to say that the splendor and the radiance of that city loses out because the tzaddik leaves. Ubamidrash Rabba, Kibo HaShemesh, Osa Shimsha. The Midrash says that, and he lie down in that place because the sun was coming. Osa Shimsha, the Aramaic of the sun was coming. Shot is that the sun was going down, so Yaakov lie down. Let's try and understand this by means of Avodah Hashem. Gam lahavin halashon vayelech Harana. Also, when it says and he went to Haran, hava lechtov leleches leharan. Also, when it says vayelech Harana, it would have been more fitting had the Torah said leleches leharan. So why does it say Vayela Haran? Those are his questions. Dehine. Bechina.
Sorry, yeah.
He says that maybe grammatically, Vayela Harana is a little bit unusual in this context as opposed to Laleches LeHaran. It means the same thing when you say it in English.
That's
and
right.
He went to Haran. But it's two different ways of saying it in Hebrew. And the former, Vayela Harana, he says, is a little unusual in this context. He doesn't really give it that.
Why? We don't know why.
Yeah.
Vayela, the father of
that, right? Going to, right? But still, I don't know that it, how much of a change in the pasuk it would make. Vayela Harana. But maybe what Ralph is saying that Laleches L'Haran is more reasonable because he is going to Haran, right? He's going to, as opposed to saying, and he went to Haran when he's really on his way. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So I think that makes sense. Vayela Haran is more like he already went there, as opposed to he's in the process of going. Dehine bechinas Yaakov Avinu Alav Hashalom Hanikra Alshein V'yado Ochezes Ba'akev Esav. Now it says by Yaakov when he and Esav were coming out of Rivka's womb that his hand was holding on to Esav's heel, and that's how he had the name Yaakov Yud Ekev Yud and then the heel. Yado, what does that mean that Yaakov's hand was on Esav's heel? More al-bechinas rishus. The word hand, yad, it means a person who is able to do something. He has the authority to do something. If you say, the koach, I have the koach, in Hebrew you'd say, koach biyadi. It's in my hand. That means you can do it. So yad is a lashon of rishus. Yes. Kiyadua. Ve'esav mora al-kol in yane artzius. Esav refers to all kinds of physical endeavors and acts. Ve'zehu v'yado ochezes ba'akev Esav. That's what it means that Yaakov's hand was grabbing Esav's heel. Asher kol b'chinas ekev Esav. All things represented by Esav's heel, which means the way Esav is planted into the physical world, that's his heel. So what advantage does Yaakov have over that? Hu birishusa. Yaakov has all that in his rishus, in his authority. Yes, Mark?
I have a question. If that's the case, we later found out that Esav is a great hunter and he walked once and walked around a lot. So my question is, what is it more symbolic that he grabbed something else because he you know, it didn't slow down his footing.
Right. Well, the idea there is that that's just the place where it shows that Esav is attached and embedded into this world.
Okay.
Didn't say that he slowed him down. We're talking more about what that means to us, al derech ha'avoda, that Yaakov has reshus, he has control over Esav. And for us, for our own avoda, that's what that idea is supposed to represent.
Well, Esav gets to move around freely in the physical world, but Yaakov was proper position to Esav, tell him where to go.
Right. His hand is, it's like having him on a leash in a certain way.
Right.
Like your hand is on somebody, you're going to make sure that they do what... Right. So, that's what it means that Yaakov's hand is on Esau's heel. That the power of Yaakov, for us, has control over the power of Esau. Shahamoach shalid al halev, that the mind has control over the heart. Azen nikra Yaakov. That's the name Yaakov. Yud Ekev. Yud means chachma, the mind, is over the heel. Yud mora bechinas tzimtzum. Below his pashtus. If you take a look at the letter Yud, that's something which is very mitzumtzum. It's very confined and contained. Yud is just a dot. It hasn't expanded. Kitamunas hayud nakuda below his pashtus orech verocha, like a yud itself, visibly, it's just a dot, and it hasn't been stretched widthwise or lengthwise. It's just a dot. The word yud, I don't know. It's an interesting question because it's spelled yud vav dalet. So I don't know. Shabachol bechinas ikvayim. In Yone Artsius, that all those things of ikvayim, which is to say the heels of a person, those things which are very earthy, misnaheg bibethinas tzimtzum, that the way one tries to conduct their activities in the physical world is that they should be contained within certain boundaries. Hefi ha-hechrech l'kiyum ha-guf, according to what's necessary to sustain and maintain the body. For the body to be healthy, to serve God. So our body has needs. And if we allow it, it's going to overindulge in the physical world. Yaakov is Yud Ekev, is taking the Yud, which is confined within boundaries, it's a dot, and controlling our involvement in the physical world, which he calls the heels of a person. Like that which digs you in, like you dig in your heels to the physical world. So putting that within boundaries, that's the concept of Yud Eket. Dehine kasiv biyom asos Elokim eretz v'shamayim. The pasuk says back in Bereshis, on the day that God made the earth and the heavens, umavur b'zora kadosham, b'zora kadosh, shem mole al olam mole. I don't know what the context is, but the Zohar says a full name, I think it means over Hashem, over a full world. Ki eretz v'shamayim mora al b'chines gashmius u'b'chines ruchnius. There's a klal, he says, that when you see that phrase, eretz v'shamayim, the earth and the heavens, eretz refers to physicality. Shamayim, heavens, refers to spirituality. So whenever you see that, Eretz v'shamayim, that's what we're talking about. V'shamayim mora al inyanim ruchniim, Torah utfila ukadome. The word shamayim, it reflects spiritual endeavors, like learning, like davening, that's shamayim. V'eretz mora al inyanim gashmi. The word eretz refers to physical endeavors. Ukasiv Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem. Another pasuk that says, the heavens belong to God. Shemora Alzeh, and this is what he's giving his pshat on. Asher Beinyanim Ruchnim. When a person is involved with spiritual things, Tzurich lihios tamid mosif v'holeh. A person must always endeavor to add and to do greater. When it comes to spirituality, we're looking to expand and expand and expand. Shezer ramuz b'shem havaya. That the shem yudkei vavkei refers to that. Shemahave tamid b'choleis. The name yudkei vavkei is God was, is, and will always will be. Hoya hove v'yihye. So that's expansiveness in any direction, in any dimension. That's what that shame reflects. Bechinas hanosein layoev koach, that God gives strength to the weak, to the tired. Kein tzorich lihios in yonim ruchnim bibechinas mahave. So too, spiritual endeavors must also be more being, more mahave. Becholeis betosfos v'ribui. We're trying to become greater and greater. That's spirituality. However, it will be bechinas eretz, but the land, physicality, shemora inyanim gashmim, referring to physical endeavors, tzorech lihios bechinas gevul v'tzimtzum ad po tovo. There, we want to contain. The spirituality, we want it just to go and go. Physicality, we want to contain within boundaries. So one is mosif v'holeich, continually adding, ruchnias. The other is adpo, until here. You don't want that to grow anymore, right? You don't want to be more involved in the physical world. It's going to take you down. Only until here, to keep the body healthy, to earn a living, until there, but not further. Yes, Jeff?
No.
Huh.
We already read.
Rak kefi ha-hechrech, only according to that which is needed. V'zehu b'chinas Yaakov. And that's what Yaakov is. Shemora al b'chinas da'as hakolo chesed u'gevura. Yaakov refers to da'as, which contains both chesed and gevura. Chesed hu b'chinas hispashtus. Chesed is expansion, outward, more. U'gevura hu b'chinas tzimtzum. Gevura is contained, restrained. Chesed is giving out to another. Gevura is holding back, is restraining. Yaakov contains both, he wants to say. Chesed and Gevura. He spans both midos. The Yaakov ishtam yoshev oholim. And he says, Yaakov is a complete person. Tam yoshev oholim. Just by the way, you've heard of Rabbeinu Tam, one of the greatest Baalei Hatosos. According to some, he was the greatest of all the Baalei Hatosos. He was Rashi's grandson. How did he get the name Rabbeinu Tam? That wasn't his name. His name was Yaakov. So he's called Rabbeinu Tam because he's compared to Yaakov Avinu, who's called Ishtam, a complete whole person dwelling in tents. That was Rabbeinu Tam's real name, was Yaakov. And he was given that name because of his comparison. They compared him to Yaakov Avinu. Just a little tidbit on the side, so you might want to know. I think so.
So his brothers were probably supposed to be
right.
Rhymed with that. That was the Rebam.
And the Rashbam.
Right.
So my comment is,
yes,
I would teach Tom that goodness is called Yaakov Tom. Each Tom is very important in this word because that tells both the spiritual side, the growth side, so he's able to control and this one.
Right. Very nice. And he says he's going to say a similar thing, not quite the same as that thought that Avi mentioned. So it says, Yoshev Ohalim, he dwells in tents, plural. Why not Yoshev Ohel? Why Ohalim? Beis Bechinas Oh, there are two tents that a person has to live in the world. Ruchnias V'gashmias. We have a spiritual existence, and we have a physical existence. Olach Yaakov. Well, they're talking about Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. Shabbavur Haborei Baruchu. Yeah, Torah Utfila. I think there probably should be Shabbat. I think it might be Shabbat. What is Haborei? Torud sila, hubi basinas hased behis pashna sabra. On account of God, when a person is doing his avoda to serve God with learning and with davening, that's chesed. We're trying to expand, to become bigger. B'tosfos v'ribui u'b'inyanei artzius, but when it comes to physicality, hubi b'chinas tzimtzum, a person there is contained within boundaries. U'gavura b'chinas Yaakov. So it's a little similar, Avi, that he's saying Yaakov Avinu represents both. It's the expansiveness when it comes to Torah, and it's the knowledge of boundaries when it comes to the physical world. And he was ohalim. He knew how to handle both tents. He was a complete whole person. V'hine be'emes hisnahagu sa'adam b'inyanei ha'artzius b'bechines b'chol d'rachecha de'ehu. Now, in truth, the way a person conducts himself in the physical world is an extension, or is part of the concept of b'chol d'rachecha de'ehu. We should know God in all our ways. No matter what we're doing, we should know God. Toli ba'avodaso be'emes b'torah utfila. But it's dependent on how we do in our learning and in our davening. When a person is awakened in their heart, like when a person studies Torah, or when they are involved intensely in davening, the word tefila is the lashon of devekus. Peliyoi said that many times. When Naftali is named, Naftule Elohim Niftalti in this parsha, it's a lesson of closeness to God. And the word tefillah is related to the word Naftali.
And Naftali is which number? Five.
Right after? Sure, six. After Yehuda, there was Dun and then Naftali. It was the sixth one born.
Okay.
And he was born to Zilpah. I'm sorry, to Bilhah. Leah, Rachel Shifra. That Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda were born to Leah.
Okay.
Then Rachel gave her Shivcha Bila to Yaakov, and she gave birth to Dan and Naphtali.
Right.
He was a sixth. Thirth lihiyos nishar rishimu b'leiv al kol hayom. So that awakening that we experienced in davening, what we would like to happen, is that its impression remains with us the rest of the day. Not just that, okay, done davening, now I'm out there in the world, two separate things. We'd like it to be really the same, an extension of that. What we accomplished in davening to remain with us. So that when we do have to become involved in the world in physical activities, ya'ale al zichrona, that we will remember, the yasim al libo, and take it to heart, haratzon v'hatishuka, the desire, the yearning, shehoya be'eth hatifila, that we had during the davening, bishas sheheiru bo hamochim, when we had an illuminated mind, halavai, vehiskalus hanakuda panimius shebeleiv, and when the inner point of our heart became opened up. Right, guys?
It just occurred to me that perhaps to make this lamaisa for us, we should have kavana in davening, that we should have those kinds of mochim in the meeting.
Right?
Right. It's not usually for me. It's not that far afterwards, right?
Pretty close.
That's the most dramatic decline of the day.
The b'zeh yikaris hamimus hatayva la'asos kol tzorachav hagashmi. So now he says this is a concept that he says many times in the Peliyoid, that we're striving to take what we accomplished in davening into the world. Now he said he puts a kind of a specific insight onto it, which is to cool down the heat of our desires when we're involved with the physical world. That there's just a certain kind of passion and extension into the world that people get into. He says, and the way to contain that is by going back to what you recognize during davening. That will hold us back to one extent or another, from becoming too passionate or over-involved with the Gashmiyasika world. Because we'll remember that our real purpose here has to do with coming close to God. And it's so easy to get overextended.
Well, I can wait.
No, go ahead.
Actually, you and I have discussed that before, and it's... isn't it appropriate for me sometimes to be that passionate about what you might call work or whatnot, or that passionate about an act of whatever mitzvah you're doing and whatnot, but we're in this world. There's a bit of a contradiction there, I think. You know, we're not davening, but you know, to do a mitzvah with that kind of passion and fervor, or to understand that if I'm making something, it should be offered to Kiddush Hashem, not my credit, you know, that's not me, but it's a gift, etc., or creating music, or you know, whatever. So it's nice to say, but you know, in reality, all of it should be a form of davening, right?
Yeah, I mean, if a person's physical involvement is such that they see themselves serving Hashem, let's say in your field, making a beautiful piece out of wood, and then the passion is that this is your way of serving Hashem, that's a different expression, a different thing than what he's referring to, because he's referring to about getting into the world and being apart from God as a result of it. And that's where we shouldn't be passionate. If we have to, you know, go to the store and buy some stuff, so you do it, you get what you need, make sure that it's good, good. But we don't put our heart into it. But it could be, depending on what your work is, that you may have your heart in your work. And if you have your heart in your work and you're really trying to direct it toward Avodas Hashem, that's a very appropriate place for passion to be. Now, some people don't have their heart in their work. A lot of people. For them, work is what they do to make a living. So it's a means. So you got to be honest and have integrity and dignity and do a good job and do all that. But as far as passionate, for a lot of people, that's not going to work. Now, they're not passionate about what they do. They're going to do a good job, but they're going to keep their passions in Torah and feeling.
So maybe not work,
it
but
depends.
How about the performance of any mitzvah?
So there would be a beautiful place to be passionate in the performance of a mitzvah. Now, I say this somewhat with some... it's a delicate point, because even if a person isn't passionate about their work, it's still our responsibility to do a darn good job. We can't go into the world and just do a schlocky job because I'm not doing a mitzvah right now. Part of serving Hashem is to do a good job in the world and be responsible about it.
Right.
If a person wants to be passionate about that, that's fine. They want to be passionate about being honest in the marketplace, great. We need more people like that. Yes.
Now, what about interestingly, some of those have been caught in the last month in the political realm of things.
Right.
That's a very tricky subject, because...
Very.
I won't go into any particulars, but the thing is, because there were a lot of emotions on both sides, and while I do see people in the room who are involved in this, who do try to assess their own representatorial perspective and all that, are there any special guidelines or parameters and all that? Because it continues, not just election, but it's on every different level. You know what I mean?
A couple of things. One is that people have to remember that no matter which candidate they're voting for, none of them have a Torah perspective. None. We're not out there voting for, you know, the head of the Sanhedrin, nor would we have the right. These are political candidates in a system who may have some values that overlap with ours, and may have some leadership qualities that were what we seek and that we desire, and hopefully we'll be decent human beings and lead a good job. And to that extent, we like to support the candidate that we feel is the best. But what I see sometimes is that people start to attach qualities to a political leader in the same way that they do it to a religious leader. And I think that's a big mistake, because they're politicians, they're not tzaddikim. And we look to them to be honest and to have integrity. And we saw what happened in the presidency the last time around, where you had someone who had a lot of moral problems, and the way that demoralized the country. And having the president who, at least we believe, seems to be a very moral person right now, that's a wonderful thing, very wonderful thing. But we have to keep it in that realm, that these are political leaders, and not attach those qualities to them that we would to a Torah leader. I mean, there were big controversies, you know, historically amongst Jewish leaders about which leaders to support. When Napoleon was around, there was a big machlokes amongst the Gedolei Hador, whether to support him or not. A very big machlokes, because some thought it would be better for the Jews, because it would release them from certain persecutions. Others thought it would be horrible for the Jews, because it represented a new liberal, not political, but a liberal, more free, you know, a lifestyle that would really be devastating for the life the Jewish people had maintained until that point. Big, a very big machlokes. And all the way back to whether or not we were supporting Rome or not. The Chachamim were not in favor of rebelling against Rome. And hey, those were not moral people, you know, but they did not feel rebellion was appropriate.
So for modern times, just because a candidate is a Bush doesn't mean it's a burning Bush.
Yes, no. He couldn't resist. He just couldn't resist.
Because all these extra...
We knew it was coming. That's just one thought on that, Mark. There are many thoughts, but that's one. Okay. Okay, now let's see, where are we?
Gozem Moralana Torah, Yetze Yaakov Mibershava.
Thank you. Lazem Moralana HaTorah Kedosha VaYetze Yaakov Mibershava. Yaakov left Be'er-Sheva. Be'er-Sheva Mora Al Inyonim Ruchnim. That refers to spirituality, spiritual things. Bechinas Be'er Mayim Chaim, because the word Be'er is usually a clue that there's something Ruchni is happening, a well. Kasher ha'adam yotze mi bechinas ha'avdus b'tor u'tfila v'yelech haran. When a person leaves Be'er Sheva, when they take leave of the, what I'm going to call, direct and obvious spiritual pursuit of davening and learning, when he takes leave of that, and then he goes to Haran, v'yelech haran, v'holech la'asos Tzarachav Hagashmi, none of Hagashmi. And he goes now to take care of his physical needs. Shalzeh Mora Lashon Harona, Milashon Haron Af. It's a lashon of anger. Now, I'm not quite sure what he means. Does he mean like, you have to do it, but you're angry about it? You know, you got to get involved in the physical world. You have no choice. I'm not sure if that's what he means.
There can be a difference between the length there and on the
way. Right.
You go on the way, you never get through.
Uh-huh. So I'm not sure if that's what he means. Let me just read one more line. V'umor lanu ha-Torah ha-Kedosha hayach yuchal ha-Adam la-Hagia v'bechinas b'chol d'rachecha de'ehu l'kadesh atzmo b'mutchelo. How could a person reach this point of serving God in all things that they do? V'zehu v'yifka b'makom. That's the next phrase. He met up with the place. Ein pigia ella tfila means he davened. So, vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er-Sheva. When Yaakov leaves Be'er-Sheva, when the Jewish people have to get up from the Beis Midrash or from the Shul, vayelech harana, and they have to go out into the physical world, vayifka b'makom, make sure that you're always touching, lashon vayifka, the davening that you had that morning. Make sure you maintain contact. It's like your anchor. that you dive into the morning.
One of the thoughts that I had in connection with something else I was learning on this same idea, the idea of Yele Harana, is that the fundamental nature of you know, work in the world is sort of a competition for resources. You know, competition for resources, as long as there's a competitive dimension, it's the groundwork for one person gets, the other doesn't, one person rises, the other. It's just a setup for anger in the world.
Very good. Very good point. This is an interesting gematria, which took me a little while to figure it out. Umakam gematria havaya has that. The word makam, place, has the same gematria as the same yud ke vav ke in this way. Now yud ke vav ke equals 26. Makom equals 186. It's not the same gematria, right? But this is how it is. Yud pa'amim yud kuf. You take the word, the letter yud from yud ke vav ke, and you multiply it by itself. 10 times 10 is 100. Hey pa'amim hey. Then you take the next letter, hey, and multiply it by itself five times. Five times five. That's 25.
And this is considered the most expansive computation of the world.
Right. I think so. Vav pa'amim vav. Then you take six times six, lamed vav. That's 36. Hey pa'amim hey. Five times hey. Again, that's 25 plus hey. If you add that up together, it's 186. So yud ke vav ke in that kind of gematria, this is not playing games, but there's some kind of significance to that, which I don't know enough to say what it is. Shetzorich lahagia b'tfila libachinas devekus lahavaya borachu. That in our davening, what we're trying to reach is closeness to God. Shehu makomo shel olam. God is the place of the world. V'chein be'es asako b'torah oraisa v'kut shabrichu kulochad. Likewise, when we study Torah. So, you know, people would say a lot about what davening means. I have to ask for what I need to pray to Hashem. I think he's trying to bring across here that fundamentally tefillah is establishing closeness with God. And all the words and the structures and the bakashas and the phrases that we say, it's all centered around that one yisod, trying to get close. The same thing with Torah too. The method is different with Torah than it is with tefillah, but we're trying to get close, vaguely. Mark? Go ahead, you gotta go, go ahead. No problem.
I don't know, it's not usual. When we look at 2 years, I don't know.
If you find 2 years, that's good. I think we need two. If you see 2 years out there, bring him on up, we'll dive him. If not, no problem.
Done as solid.
No good?
Just done as solid.
Right.
I have to go too if he doesn't.
Okay. What time do we got? There's about a minute left. Right? I'll take one more line. Vayolen Sham, and then he slept there. Kasher boha adam libachinas lina. When a person comes to sleep, shahu inyan hispalku hamothin. That means literally when we lose our mind. It means when that expansive state of davening departs us. Shahu achar hatfila, meaning when davening is over. Shabola asos tzuracha binyone haguf, and we have to get involved in the physical world. Sorit lihios nishar harishimo belibo mehamochin shahoyelo be'ez ha'tora utfila. We want that to stay with us. V'zehu kibo ha'shemesh k'mo shekasuv asa shimsha shemora al harishimo shebelay. Now he says that the setting of the sun, and I don't really quite get it in the lashon, represents the impression that davening makes in our heart. Like going down into it, maybe. Really not quite sure. But that's it.
Well, the word for setting is really
shakua. Yeah, shakua is to go down and to be sunk into something. Yeah, that's the modern word.
So I'm saying right. For that kind of like
permanent.
Like
getting invested into your heart. Sure.